ओम शांति। वेलकम टू दिस मॉर्निंग सेशन ऑन कर्म। इन टुडेज़ वर्ल्ड वी हैव अ लॉट ऑफ क्वेश्चंस, व्हाई दिस एंड व्हाई दैट, हाउ एंड व्हाट, एंड समटाइम्स वी गेट सो कंफ्यूज्ड। Other translations ready? All right. And so we sometimes get stressed very much because we cannot get the answers to our questions, and that makes life very difficult for us and people around us. And so this is a very interesting concept of karma. It's a very Eastern concept, but it doesn't matter. As long as it benefits me. The sun rises in the east and sets on the west, but that doesn't mean we don't take sunrise. We do. Sunshine. And so if life gets a meaning through the understanding of karma, I would definitely try to understand. And so the word karma means action, simply action. Before I continue, let's just design our morning session, whole morning session. So I will share with all of you the insight on karma. After that, what would you like to do? Would you like to go into small groups for about 20-30 minutes and talk more about it? Or would you like to go into question answers? Question answers? How many of you say question answers? Oh, it's a big number. And so we won't have time for the small groups. Is it okay? All right. And then we will go into meditation. So we're ready for 12 noon. If you need a stretch break, let me know. So we could have about 5 minutes stretch break. So I was just talking about the word karma. Karma simply means actions. To perform actions, it's not bad. But it's very important what quality of actions I perform, and what are the consequences of my action. And so first we would take action, and then of course the qualities of action, and then the consequences of the action, and then how do I clear all that. So this planet Earth is known as Karma Kshetra, the field of action. Kshetra means field of action. I, the soul, takes birth through the mother's womb. Till I am in the mother's womb, I still have not started my action, my karma. But the moment I take birth and am separated from the mother, and the first breath I take is my first karma. And of course the last breath I take on this planet Earth or in this world is my last karma. And so if you say I'm a karma yogi or I'm a karma sannyasi, in other words I've renounced karma, you haven't, because you're still breathing. So that's also action. And so you go and sit in the mountains, in the Himalayas, in the caves, but you're still breathing, so you're performing actions. And so it goes into your accounts. So whilst performing actions, I have to be very aware that the first action and the last action, that is the first breath and the last breath, is not in my hands. I haven't chosen to take birth. Yeah? I was sent into this world. Of course, there's an answer to that also, but that is not with my own desire or wish. And I also do not die with my own desire and wish. Yeah? It's destined. These two actions are destined. It's fixed in the drama. But anything between the two actions, everything should be under my control. All the actions between these two, first and the last, I should be the master of that. Am I? Just look at yourself. Whatever I say, whatever I do, wherever I go, do I have that mastery? A lot of people don't like the word control. Yeah? So I wouldn't say control, but I would say discipline. Do I have discipline over my own actions? And in our day-to-day life, knowingly or unknowingly, we say, oh, I didn't mean it. I didn't want to say it, but I just said it. Or I didn't want to do it, but it just happened. And so what's that? I do not have mastery over my actions. And so I'm not the master of the self. But the moment I have this awareness and I start working on my actions, I definitely become the master of myself. And so, whenever we perform actions, consciously or subconsciously, knowingly or unknowingly, the actions will be accumulated in three different accounts. One is sukarma. The actions which gives happiness to me and others. The other account is vikarma. The action which gives sorrow to me and others. Vicious karma. Vikarma. Sukarma. Vikarma. And the third actions is called akarma. Neutral actions. It doesn't take me forward. It doesn't take me backwards. Doesn't take me up. Doesn't take me down. It's neutral. Now, neutral actions is the most elevated actions. It doesn't have any consequences. It's a very balanced action. Whatever the problems are in this world, the world is not problematic. The world is not bad. The things around are not bad. The only issue is imbalance. Even if you're a medical person, you would know, anything which becomes imbalance in the body, that's when illnesses come. Pain comes, suffering comes. So even in the society, wealth is not bad. Yeah? Materialism is not bad. But if it is imbalance, the moment it loses the balance, that's where pain and suffering comes in. And so, akarma is a very elevated action. It's called the saintly actions. Yeah? I would use a term, which of course I will translate for you. It is said, ninda, stuti, man, apman, jay, parajay, misaman. Which simply means, if somebody praises you, or whether defames you, or you have victory, or you have defeat, whether somebody respects you or insults you, you are just balanced. Nothing affects you. If you get excited in your praise, you definitely have to become a little bit unhappy when there is defamation. Yeah? And if you get excited in your victory, you definitely are going to get upset in your defeat. Yeah? That's the extremes. But a saintly person or a saintly action means it doesn't affect you. You're very neutral, very balanced. See? All right, we don't want to go there, but at least check these two sides, the sukarma and the vikarma. Sukarma means any actions I perform gives happiness to me, but also happiness to others. And vikarma means any actions I perform which give sorrow to me, but also sorrow to others. So we're not going to generalize the world, but just check which side is more heavier, consciously or subconsciously, knowingly or unknowingly, you know? Which side is more heavier, the sukarma side or the vikarma side? You see? So we've gone this way. See? So what has happened is that knowingly or unknowingly, either we are taking sorrow or we are giving sorrow. And so this side is becoming heavier and heavier and heavier. From this side, we are not aware of accumulating. We might be accumulating, giving happiness or taking happiness, but not as much as this side. And on the other side, whatever comfort and pleasures we are using in our life now, a good family, good parents, good siblings, good country, good shelter, good food, good clothing, good education, name it. Whatever we are using now, I don't think it's our account of earning. We are actually using it from our savings. Saving means the account of sukarma. Whatever we had accumulated, we are using from there. You see? So this is becoming lighter and lighter. Did you notice that? Yeah? If you're very lucky to have lovely parents or lovely family or house, shelter, that means you're using from your savings. You might not have earned so much now, in this day and age now. And so it becomes a little bit lighter on this side and heavier on this side. And this is why, in spite of everything human beings have around them, they're very stressed, very unhappy, not satisfied. There's a lot of dissatisfaction. It's because of this imbalance. See? In spite of things you have around you, you still feel something is missing. See? And so, what are we trying to do is, first, we need to understand, how am I clearing my accounts? So in our very regular language, I would use the word credit and debit. I have the debts and I have the credit. I earn and I pay. See? So this is sukarma, I earn. This is vikarma, I pay. You see? And so in our day-to-day life, on this field of action, karma kshetra, I have come to clear my accounts. Be very clear, to clear your accounts doesn't mean always debit. Clear your accounts also means credit, because somebody is owing you. Either somebody is owing you, either you are owing someone. And so even receiving something means clearing an account. Either giving is also clearing an account. It's two-way. And so the very first way of clearing account is karma sambandh. Karma means action. Sambandh means relationships. Whatever you come in connection with, relationship, whatever, you're clearing accounts at this time of the world cycle, Iron Age, Kaliyug. We are clearing our accounts because it's a return journey. So if someone is owing you, they will come and clear it with you. If you're owing someone, you have to give. See? So, the very first one is karma sambandh, means relationship. My mother and father, my brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles, my friends, employee, employer, neighbors, helpers, anything, any relationship. But also, relationship with land. You're born somewhere, you're educated somewhere, and you're living somewhere. Or also, relationship with your house, or office, or land. So there is a lot of depth. If I'm very fast and you can't digest, please let me know. Yeah? Because this is something you really need to take in. And I don't want you to feel heavy towards the end of the session. I want you to feel light. And so whatever you come in connection with in a form of relationship, it's clearing the accounts. Sorry, if you have abusive parents, that's also clearing account. If somebody is born in a land where there is constant war, it's clearing accounts. If you're born with some, you know, bodily ailment, that's also clearing accounts with your body. And so, it's actually karma sambandh, relationships. Sometimes you get so much pleasure and comfort through some relationships. That means they are owing you and they are giving you. And sometimes you get so much pain and suffering through a relationship. That means you are owing them. In this point, you can't say, just clear your accounts happily. Because if somebody is violent on you, you can't be happy. But what you could do is acceptance. Accept it. The moment you accept, the clearing of account becomes very easy. Of course, you do it happily. It's very, very easy to clear the account. But in some cases, you can't be happy. But you accept it. And when you accept, half your account is cleared. And then other half, you have to make efforts to clear it, which doesn't feel like you're making an effort. And so, that is karma sambandh. If you have employee-employer relationship and it's just so horrible, and you say, I'm going to leave this job. I love my work, but I don't like my boss. And you want to run away from there. Yeah? You'll get a worst boss wherever you go. Because it's your karmic account. Rather than that, let me accept. Yeah? And the moment you accept, some sort of very beautiful good wishes comes out. And this good wishes helps you to clear your account very quickly. The moment your account is cleared with that relationship, either the relationship becomes so beautiful that you don't even remember you had such a bitter relationship, or either you get a promotion or your boss leaves and your account is over. Did you get that? Yeah, you know, either they go, either you get a promotion, but you don't escape. No attitude of escape, because that attitude then takes me to another situation where I have to clear my accounts. So you'll get a worst one. See? So, that is one thing. When you have relationships, karmic accounts with your land, sometimes you must have noticed, you would say, ever since we've moved to this big, big house, everybody in my house is not well. They're very unwell. Or they fight a lot. We are very unhappy. We were very happy in our tiny little house. So that's the land which is asking for the return. Or you would say, ever since I moved my office from here to there, it's just so good. You know, I'm receiving a lot of, success. So that land is supposed to give you. It's something very, very subtle. So what we could do is give good wishes and pure feelings to the land. Good wishes and pure feelings to the land. Wherever you go. And you must have seen some of the cultures, they do vastu, you know, they do good wishes for the land. Or they do housewarming ceremony. That is also good wishes to the land, that you are receiving prosperity through this land. And so it's very important to acknowledge this land also, because I have relationship with that. Similarly, you would say, sister, I've been living in the United States. I want to go back home. I am tired now, yeah, living in a foreign country. I just want to go back home, wherever your home is, Mexico or Israel or India or whatever. But if you've not finished your account there, you cannot move. You cannot move. Even if you try, something or the other thing comes up and it will stop you from going. Some excuses, you know. If I say, oh, I love my country. I don't want to leave Kenya at all. I will just die here. Yeah? But my accounts with that country is over. I cannot live in that country for one second also. There will be a promotion. I'll get a scholarship. I will become unwell. And I will have to move. Or my child would want to, you know, go for further studies somewhere. Something will come up and say, all right, leave this country now. Your karmic accounts are over. So, you know, all this visa issues and work permit issues and all these things are just excuses to help us clear our account. And so, that is karma sambandh, actions in relationship. One time, a father was very proud of bringing the three daughters up very nicely. Best food, best clothes, best education, everything best. And so the father called the three daughters and asked the first one, what do you think? You got everything best. It's because of who? And the first one said, Dad, it's you. If we did not have you as our father, we would have never had this quality life. And so he was very proud. And then the second one was asked, and she said the same thing. But when the third one was asked, she says, Dad, it's my fortune. I'm reaping the fruit of my own actions and fruit. And the dad was very angry. And he said, all right, get out. Yeah, go on the streets. And I'll see how your actions help you. And she just goes. Without anything. Yeah, she's on the road. She was such a beautiful girl. such a beautiful one, that a very smart, lovely man came by and married her and took her. And she was living with the same prosperity and same lovely lifestyle. And that's when the father saw that's true. It's her fortune, not mine. Now, we human beings have this attitude. If anything good happens to us, it's always me. Yeah? It's me. I did it. But if anything goes wrong in life, it's always somebody else. Yeah? And if not somebody else, it's God. Yeah? Why does God do this to me? See? Remember, anything good happens to you, it's you. Absolutely. But anything goes wrong is also you. So I have to understand my responsibility. I have to. I've always heard, you know, a lot of husband-wife relationship. I wouldn't generalize, but many. The wife would say, you know, I come from such a beautiful family. Living with you, look at what you've done to my life. It's because of you I'm suffering so much. You know? And, or the other way, the husband would say, you didn't have anything in your parents' house. It's because of me you've got all the prosperity. You know? You're enjoying life because of me. You have all the materialistic pleasures because of me. But either way is not right. It's only I have to take that ownership. If I'm enjoying and I'm having all the facilities, that husband is only an instrument. It's me. And if you're suffering, it's that husband is only an instrument. It's me again. It's my accumulation. For all of us, I'm just giving you an example of a husband and a wife, but any relationship. So, this is very clear that one way of clearing my karmic accounts are actions in relationship. Two, clearing accounts is karma bhog. Karma, by now you know what it means, actions, and bhog means suffering. Physical suffering and mental suffering. Whatever the suffering is. Illness, karma bhog. Whatever the illness is, it's my accumulation. It's my suffering. Sometimes you see this retarded, deformed children being born. So you ask a question. It is that child's suffering or is it the parent's suffering? You know? So that you could see it very clearly. Sometimes this child doesn't have any experience of pain or pleasure. Yeah? So that child is just an instrument, but the parents have more suffering because they are seeing their child suffering. You see? And so, when you have any illnesses, like sometimes we blame the doctor and say, oh, this doctor made a mistake. Or my country doesn't have any medical standard. And that's why we are suffering. Even in the most highest medical standard, people do suffer. Yeah? I know one surgeon in America, in the United States. He was operated in the knee. Of course, his fellow friend operated it. But when he was walking after the operation, there was something wrong. There was something pricking all the time in the knees. And so he had to go for another op. And guess what? The doctor, the surgeon, left a scissors inside. Yeah. And this doctor was saying, why don't you sue him? He says, no, I'm not going to sue him. Because I'm also a doctor. And I might make a mistake also. So I know he's my friend. He hasn't done it purposely. It's just a mistake. No one is perfect. So I'm not going to sue him. So remember, suing It's not the solution. Yeah? But that's also karma. That's also karmic accounts. So it's like, we do not want to multiply karmic accounts, but we want to subtract it, reduce it, finish it, clear it, you know? And so, whatever, whether it's physical illnesses, whether it's mental torture, mental suffering, all that is a way of clearing accounts. And I read this, you know, book, one of the most harsh child abuse case. And this person, this child, of course, is now an adult, and he wrote a book, what his lifestyle was. And towards the end of that book, that person is asking, is there anybody in the world who could tell me why my mother did this to me? Biological mother did this to me, you know? And it's absolutely, you can clearly see, it's not the mother-child issue, it's not anything else, it's the account, karmic account, you know? And so, this soul was so lovely, even after such an abusive life, towards the end, he did not, you know, revenge the mother. He just helped the mother and let her die with good wishes and pure feelings. And so, of course, that soul is not 100% satisfied with the life. But he did not revenge the mother. So you can see towards the end of the karmic accounts is balanced. Yeah? It's 0-0-0. So it's not carry forward. So sometimes I've seen people get so frustrated with the suffering and pain, and they feel, I want to kill myself, you know, commit suicide. Do you think that's the solution? No. That's not the solution. Because we think, I'm so sick and tired of this life and this suffering and this pain and this torture, I just want to end my life. So you could not handle that life and you want to end it. When you end, that means you have to pay for that account with interest. So what you could not handle, that is carry forwarded, but plus interest. Can you imagine how you would clear that? So, rather than ending the life or, you know, running away or escaping, that's why we've been given this tool of meditation. Meditation helps me to clear my karmic accounts in a very soft and comfortable way. Very soft and humble. You know, these other ways are there, definitely. But they're quite harsh, you know. And if you cannot handle the harsh side of it, let's take the softer way of clearing the account. But I definitely want to clear my accounts. And so, first and the second way of clearing accounts, so in our day-to-day life, we are constantly clearing our accounts, the credit and the debit. The third way of clearing account is karma yoga. So you had karma sambandh, action in relationship, karma bhog, action in suffering, and karma yoga, action with yoga. Did you get that? The word yoga simply means connection, communion, union, or communication. And karma means action. So whilst I am performing my actions, day-to-day actions, simple actions, regular actions, it shouldn't be only elevated actions. But whatever I do, I wake up, I talk, I interact, I eat, I sleep, I work, whatever I do, if I have that communion, if I have that union, that connection, what we talked about yesterday, connecting with the divine. Yeah? And so when I have that, life becomes very interesting. Life becomes so beautiful, because whatever you do, you filter. It's like filtering. See? And so, what we say is, sometimes in our day-to-day life we say, oh, my life is horrible. Well, mine is not. Yeah, be careful. But that's how we express, isn't it? Or we say, my life is full of sorrow, or my life is very stressful, you know? And so we're trying to sort our life out on this level, because we are looking on this level, yeah? And so you think, okay, now because my life is stressful, I'm going to leave this country and go away to another place. Or I'm going to leave this job and going to move on to another job. Or I'm going to leave this family and go away, run away, yeah? And so we're trying to sort out our life here. But remember, life doesn't start here, yeah? It doesn't begin here. So we can't sort it out here. Where does my life start from is here. Thinking pattern. Because I, the being, the soul, consists of the mind, intellect, and tendency. So I, the mind, think. I create thoughts. I judge, and I create tendencies. So the process is, thoughts creates attitude. Attitude creates language. Language creates actions, and action creates lifestyle. Did you get that? Should I repeat? Yeah. Thoughts create attitude. You know, sometimes you have anger on someone. You don't say anything, but you're very angry here. So naturally, from your attitude, someone can sense, you know, that this person is very angry. And from attitude, we create language, words. Words come out. So that type of words are going to come out now. And words create actions. You don't say anything, but you bang and you push. And, you know, that type of actions. And then action creates lifestyle. And so when we say my life is stressful, or my life is sorrowful, or my life is angry, you know, everything starts from here. So rather than sorting out here, you know, sometimes you want to change the job, sometimes you want to change your neighborhood, you want to change your city, you want to change everything, and you come to a stage where you start changing husband, wives also. And say, I'm tired of this husband now, or I'm tired of this wife, so I'm going to leave this one and go and get married again. Yeah? That's not the solution to life. Yeah? How many things are we going to change in life? Yeah? But I can change my thinking pattern. Yeah? I can change my thinking pattern here. From stressful, angry, negative, positive, creative, loveful, peaceful, and meditation helps me to do that. Change my thinking pattern. The moment I change it here, my thinking pattern, I become so peaceful and loving. I become pure and patient. So my attitude becomes that. My words and my language become that. And my lifestyle become that. And sometimes, you know, some of the guests ask us, how do you cope with this whole complex? How does it work? it works on this basis. It doesn't just work on, you know, law and order, but also love and affection, understanding and cooperation. And so that's the quality of thoughts. And that's called karma yogi. You want something? It's missing? All right. So that's karma yogi. This meditation is not a technique where you have to look for a corner and sit in a corner and meditate. That's just a beginning, just to train yourself. Yeah? But after that, you could work, you could move around, you could do your actions, and still your connection is there. And that's called karma yoga. The moment you have karma yoga, in other words, internally, I am connected to the powerhouse, the divine, the ultimate, with Baba, with God. Whatever I think is filtered. All the positive and pure thoughts will go through, and all the negative and angry and impure thoughts will be filtered. It wouldn't go through. So it would not come into my, attitude and in my actions and in my lifestyle. And so in the world we say, think before you do anything. Yeah? Am I right? Then little bit ahead, you go, think before you say anything. But here we say, think before you think. Sort out your thoughts. Don't even let it reach through to words. Think before you think. So only create thoughts which you would like to see in your lifestyle. Who wants a painful and a suffering and a sick and, you know, unhappy lifestyle? Who wants that? And so naturally, if I don't want that, I don't create such thoughts. And I become the master of my creation. That is meditation. That is the technique we use here, Raja Yoga. I become the master of my own self. And it's a beautiful, beautiful lifestyle. You don't need to go anywhere for that. You don't have to run away from anything or anybody. Whilst you are there in the midst of everything, you're the master. And it's such a beautiful experience of freedom and love and lightness. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. It's just so beautiful. And then I filter and I perform. So what happens? Did you understand? I only filter and I perform. So what am I going to accumulate? Sukarma. Yeah? So, remember my this account was getting lighter? It starts getting filled up. Accumulation. Yeah? And now I'm not accumulating on this side, the negative side of it. So it's becoming lighter and lighter. Yeah? And so, this spiritual life through meditation becomes a very light and a beautiful lifestyle. And some people ask, of course, here it is light. It is so beautiful. Yeah? But if we go out there, how are we going to cope with life out there? With our work and our challenges and, you know, our limitations and all that. But that's the tool we take back. Meditation. To filter my thoughts. I constantly wake up, I remind myself who I am, I connect with the divine, and I start filtering. And when I filter my thoughts become very beautiful. My life becomes very beautiful in the midst of everything around me. And I come to a stage where I clear all my karmic accounts, either I have to give to someone, or either I have to receive from someone. and I come to a stage where I am a karma. A karma means those saintly actions. And I go into a world where there is balanced life. So that is karma philosophy. Rather than pinpointing someone or something or somewhere, I just take responsibility. Yeah? I just take responsibility, ownership, and start working. Focusing on the self. Now in all this, remember we talked about destiny. Destiny means I come with that. So one, I come with the moment of taking birth and coming on this earth. That is destined. It's not in my hands. And I go, I die, I leave this world at the correct moment. That is not in my hands also. But all this in between what we talked about is supposed to be in my hands. And that's what we are trying to do. And the moment it comes into my hands, my life becomes beautiful. And when my life becomes beautiful, I can help others around me to beautify their lives also. At least I can inspire. You see, we become an embodiment of inspiration, which is a very good help for people around us. The world needs that, you know. When somebody comes crying to you and say, look, I have so many problems, I'm sick and tired of life, and then you also start yours, yeah, that's true, I also have so much problems. What are you doing really? You know, what are we doing? Yeah, we're putting more and more oil into the flame, so it's going to grow more, you know? But if someone comes crying to you and goes smiling or lighter, you know, then it means you've helped them, but before helping them, we've helped ourselves. And it's a very soothing feeling, very soothing feeling. And that's why in this day and age, now, especially now, we need this karma philosophy. We need this understanding. It's like light in the darkness. So mankind and human beings are actually stumbling in that darkness of ignorance. And when we have this light, we just switch it on, we enlighten the self and start seeing things in a very proper manner. This happened to me, there is a reason. There is something I can sort out or do about it. So we take that ownership and we sort it out. Remember one thing, you cannot snatch. You cannot snatch means nobody takes anything away from you and you cannot take anything from anybody. So I just want to share a little story. It's a true story. In the category of karma sambandh, actions in relationship, that there was this two very young friends, and they were so close, you know. They were brought up together, they were educated together, they started their job together, and they married. They had the wives, happily married, they had a business, they were running together, so they were like really very close friends. And the wives also became friends, so happy two families. Now, the karmic accounts open up. Yeah. So, this one couple bared children. So, they had first child, second child, third child. But this other couple could not bear children. They were very desperate, they wanted a child. Because they had everything. They had money, they had comforts, they had everything. But they wanted a child. And they could not bear a child. The wife couldn't conceive. That's where, you know, things started going wrong a little bit. So the wife would always complain and tell the husband, look, what God is so unfair. You and your friend have always been together, done everything together, you know. God gave him 3 children, and God didn't give us 1 child. Is that a correct language after understanding karma philosophy? No. But anyway, so the husband also kept on feeling that way. Look, they are so happy with their children, and look at us, you know, suffering. And so day by day he was getting very upset about it, and the wife of course. And so one day he decided, now this is enough, we have to separate now the businesses and friendship. So he told his friend that, I think now it's enough for us to be together, so you carry on with your life and I carry on with my life, so we'll separate the business. So the friend said, fine, if you feel that way, that's fine. But what happened was that because this person was very angry, he actually didn't give him his share. Because he felt he's so happy, why should I give him his share? So he cheated on him, on the share of the business. And that shocked the friend a lot. He didn't expect this from his friend. And it was such a shock that he died. Yeah? So when he died, he left a widow with 3 children. And his friend and his wife. So they separated. They were in their own 2 worlds. The moment they separated, everything was over. On this side, the wife conceived. The wife conceived. And she gave birth to a baby boy. They were very happy. But drama, that the baby boy, ever since the baby was born, was unwell, not well, not at all. So they were so busy treating the child, so they took the baby to this doctor and this one and there and here, because they had so much money, so they could treat the child. So they took the child all over, they used a lot of money, you know, but they couldn't cure the child. 9 years. That child did not utter a word saying mummy or daddy, not even once. They didn't have the pleasure to hear the word mummy or daddy. The child didn't utter a word. One fine day, some very holy person came to their house and they said, you know, your holiness, this child has been born 9 years now. He's not utter a word saying mummy or daddy, and we're just dying to hear that. It's our baby. We've taken him all over to treat, but he's not getting well. What should we do? And this holy person said, did you have a partner, business partner in your last birth? And he said, yes. And did you cheat on him? And he said, yes. Say, is he dead? Say, yes. So that's the same soul which has come to your house as a child to take his account, what you owe him. So whatever the money you've used for his treatment, half he's already taken. Half is still left. So he says, if you give, you know, it would be nice for you to give it away to the widow wife, whatever you owe him. So he was so happy that if by even giving that money away, if my child is going to be well, I'm happy to do that. So he just, you know, looked for this widow wife and say, I was owing your husband this, please take it. The moment he cleared the account, what happened? The child died. The child died. According to our intellect, we would say the child was well. No. Remember, it was not in their fortune to have the pleasure of a child. They snatched it from destiny. They snatched it. They took it forcefully. So destiny snatched it back from them. I know it sounds unfair, but it's very fair. It sounds unfair in our world. because our world is so limited, you know. But the moment you become spiritual, you go into the unlimited, and then see, you can see it very clearly. So, sometimes we're very scared. Somebody will take my fame away, somebody will take my chance away, somebody will take my fortune away. Remember, nobody can take nothing from you. You can't take anyone's, and nobody can take yours. If it is yours, it will come back to you. If it is not yours, even if you secure it, it will go away. It will escape. So this philosophy of karma is exactly like the Newton's law, which is based on science. Every action has its own equal reaction. This is based on spirituality. Every action has its own equal reactions. You getting your translation? Yeah? Alright. So, breathe. And let go. Because I know karma philosophy holds us. You know? But if you start seeing life with this eyes, life becomes very, very beautiful. But we've closed the eyes and we're trying to see life with this eyes, and it creates a lot of limitations. And because it creates a lot of limitations, we get stuck here and there. And when we get stuck here and there, that's where all this question comes out. Why me only? Why this and why that? But when we go beyond and start seeing things with that unlimited eyes, we get an answer all the time. Om Shanti.